You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com. Welcome to the Chris Spangle Show. I am your host, Chris Spangle. This is a show about life and the creative arts, and we're going to talk a little bit about photography today. And the we is myself and Emily Sweet, my lovely co-host. Emily, how are you doing today?
I'm well, Chris. How are you?
I'm pretty good. This is going to be even better because it's the second time we've done this introduction.
Yes.
Still getting the hang of it after thousands of podcasts, I guess. Today we're talking with William. He's a photographer. Tell me your last name.
Balky.
Balky.
Yes.
Okay. I know I was going to get it wrong, so I didn't want to say it.
Never mind. Right,
yeah. And William is a fashion photographer. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is William Balky. I'm the owner of William Photography, located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I like to shoot pretty people in pretty clothes in weird environments, to sum it up.
Well, and that's why he keeps taking photographs of me.
He can't stop.
I know. He just saw me and he was like, I must take your photograph. Now, Emily, you've worked with William a lot, and you can see a lot of the photographs that he's taken of you on your Instagram.
Yep, it's Emily Sweet.
And so what are some of the things that he's taken photos of you doing? It wasn't dirty, William.
Anything you weigh, you make it sound in photography, it just sounds bad.
So I've worked with William. He's one of my favorite photographers. He's so easy to work with and so talented. And just real quick, you can see his work at?
At William Photo.
Now you got to spell that.
It's Will-yum because it's just so good.
Will-yum.
W-I-L-L-Y-U-M?
Yes.
All right.
And that's Instagram and Facebook?
Or just and Instagram? Facebook, yes.
Okay. He can talk about these shoots, how he came up with them. So yeah, I've done a Barbie shoot with him. I've done just some other test shoots with him and some things coming up. So William, take it away.
Yes, you are recently part of our secret project and stuff that we're sworn by a blood oath not to talk about.
Is that the one that... No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't going to spoil it.
What was the question again? I'm
sorry. Well, okay.
Let's start from the beginning. Start with your beginning, and then
I was born on a cold, snowy night.
And then, are there any photographs of it?
No.
Thank God. Thankfully. So, how did you get into photography?
Photography. It's kind of like a lot of things. It started as a hobby. I was originally supposed to be going to school for journalism, and I had a crappy little camera that I would carry with me. I basically documented all of my early 20s on film. Yes, kids, film. It was what was before computers. I used my friends as guinea pigs and took pictures everywhere we went. And kind of my friends were starting to be like, oh, well, this kind of looks cool. And, you know, you should probably pursue this a little bit more. And, you know, and that was kind of after I did a recreatement of Psycho from Alfred Hitchcock and everything, that I kind of was like, okay, I like setting up the shoot. I like the actual like creative process of getting into it. And so, you know, fast forward a couple years later, I ditched trying to go to school for journalism and ended up going to school for photography.
I dropped out too. Okay. Once I got into radio, I was like, what do I need college for?
Yeah.
It's really about the experience. So college kids taking photographs of each other all the time at events seems weird to me. I don't know.
Were they ever like, oh my God, William, enough with the camera?
Yes. Yeah. And they're the same people that would be like, do you still have that picture and stuff?
Of course.
I'm a pain in the ass at the time and stuff, but then they love it after the fact. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Now it's Snapchat and everything's documented.
It was basically Snapchat for the early 90s.
Sure. So it was the Psycho shoot that you really decided, I'm going to pursue this full time. Mm-hmm. So what steps did you start to take to get into full time shooting?
It was a long process and stuff. Basically, when I first started going to school and stuff, it was learning the whole process of actual film and everything and stuff, and developing the actual pictures and then using the darkroom and stuff, which I'm completely thankful that I got into photography like at kind of that cusp of when it went from completely film to digital. Mm-hmm. And stuff. Now I'm 100% digital and stuff, but the basics that were pretty much taught to me and stuff kind of helped form the way I take pictures and stuff. It's basically like you, when you had 24 exposures on a roll of film back in the day and stuff, you had 24 times to get it right. So there wasn't as much guesswork. So with that kind of learning and stuff, I kind of make sure I try to get everything right the first time.
Yeah, that probably really did help your eye, because now with digital, I mean, you can just see what you took.
Exactly.
Before you couldn't. So yeah, that probably really did help train.
Mm-hmm. And I messed up tons of rolls of film the first couple of times.
Those poor Rite Aid people.
It's an expensive mistake.
I mean, I was shooting like rolls and rolls of film and stuff, and then either you didn't expose it properly or, you know, you messed it up in developing and everything and stuff, then yeah, you were out the pictures and...
Oh, so you would develop it yourself. You wouldn't go to Rite Aid.
No, I wouldn't. No. Yeah, we learned to develop it ourselves, like in a completely... When they say dark room, they're not kidding. It's completely black. Like when you get in there and you're having to like, you know, mess around with a canister to put like the film and unravel it and stuff and then pour chemicals. Yeah.
Wow.
That's why people died in the 1800s, like doing this kind of stuff.
Oh my gosh. Jeez.
Just walk in. Never mind. It's too macabre.
Oh, dear.
Not even Emily would have thought that was funny. She's the darkest person I know. She sounds sweet, but it skulls everything.
Yeah. Yeah. She's covered in cloth right now. Like,
yeah, right?
So you go, all right, I'm going to do this full time. Mm-hmm. Do you do it full time now?
Yes, I am. For about the last 2 years, I've been doing it completely full time.
So congratulations.
Do you mind if I ask your age?
No. We just met. Now I am 38.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you've worked at your hobby, then your passion, then your now full-time job.
Yes.
You've worked, what were those other jobs that you worked while you were working towards this?
I was happily a server for 12 years in Fort Wayne. I'm originally from Fort Wayne and stuff.
Okay.
I moved here 3 years ago. Basically to kind of jumpstart my career, like, and, you know, continue to work and stuff, because there was a lot more fashion photography work in Indianapolis than it was in Fort Wayne. But yeah, I worked at a restaurant, Hall's Tavern and Country, up in Fort Wayne for 12 years, who I worked there through college and everything and stuff, and they were super helpful. And then I came down here, got a job at a unnamed chain restaurant, which actually was
it
kind
rhymes
of
rhymes with Crapplebees.
No,
I wouldn't work there. No, just kidding. I got a job at a different restaurant when I moved here, and it was actually a great thing because it was a horrible, horrible place to work. And if I wouldn't have had that, because I basically, it was a kind of an epiphany on December 31st of whatever year that was, I quit. And I was like, I'm starting the year off and I'm going to do photography full time.
Good for you.
And it was a struggle, like, to get from, you know, the first couple of months from that January to, you know, March or whatever and stuff. It sucked. And I'm like, did I make the wrong decision? but if I wouldn't have done that, the opportunities with photography, like doing it full time, because a lot of people would say, you know, you can't do your passion until you're doing it full time. And I never understood that, because I'm just how the hell do you make money?
Yeah.
But once you are focused on it full time, things fall into line, you know, opportunity meets preparedness and everything like that. And
right.
Stuff,
so when you came then to Indy and you decided, okay, I'm going to do this full time, then why did you not go, oh, well, you know what? Oh, Denver has such beautiful mountains, because you wanted to do fashion. So then why not London? Why not, you know, wherever?
Yeah.
Why did you stay in Indy?
When you think of Indianapolis, you don't think fashion photography.
Yeah. And I mean, up until a few years ago, I didn't think the same thing. But as I think Emily can attest to and stuff, the fashion community in Indianapolis has been on the upswing the past few years. I mean, especially with Pattern Magazine, which I've been fortunate enough to be published in quite a few times. The amount of designers and stuff that I've been able to work with. It's a hub that's growing in Indianapolis. And the amount of talent with other photographers and designers, and it's just, it's a nice creative community and stuff. I know people use like that word kind of like a lot and stuff, but it really does. Everybody kind of feeds off each other and stuff, and there's so much different types of work that inspires other ones. So I don't know if that basically Indianapolis was, I mean, I feel like a lot of things are stepping stones. So like moving to someplace like, you know, that has like Denver or something, or, you know, Chicago, or that's not completely out of the picture for my life and stuff. I like to think that I'm young. A young 38.
You are.
But hopefully sometime that will happen and stuff. But this, you know, Indianapolis may be where I'm going to be, or maybe a stepping stone.
Well, saying that with no dig on Indianapolis. No. I do love it, but it is, I mean, yeah, when people think, you know, like we said, fashion and indie, but so yeah, it's true though. It is definitely up and coming.
And that's one thing that I've found in any creative, it doesn't matter if you're in Kansas City or Detroit or Dayton, Ohio, like there's a community in that shares your interest in that city, no matter how. So, I mean, if you're in like, you know, Milan, Indiana, and it's a town of 500 people, there's probably not a thriving fashion community there. But within 100 miles, there's probably a city that has some community, be it comedy or photography or acting, that you can get involved in that will help you get the chops and build a network to help you grow into that career.
And that's basically what I did in Fort Wayne, because, I mean, if people think that Indianapolis isn't a fashion place, Fort Wayne, Indiana is not a fashion mecca. But back then, I, you know, there was something inside me, the passion, what have you, that kind of drove me and stuff. And I was creating editorial shoots before I would ever even think to like try to get them published in a magazine or anything, just because I'm like, I knew that was in me and I needed to do that. So I, you know, find the clothes, find the models, you know, look up the hair and makeup ideas and everything like that. And so I was doing it before I knew that's what I wanted to do completely.
So do you like a contrast of dirty background, beautiful model? Like, what do you prefer? What's your ideal shoot?
Oh, God. It completely changes and stuff, because I, for whatever the theme is, because you mentioned that, like, we did a Barbie shoot, which was full of the color pink. I don't think I've ever been around that much of the color pink in my life.
Such a fun shoot.
Yeah, and it was completely fun. And that's one thing, like, that, like that shoot was all about being fun and happy and, you know, Barbie and all that. But like on a separate shoot, we, with a hair and makeup team that I work with, Danielle French and Anthony Perez, we did basically a kind of a shipwreck shoot that got published and stuff. And so that was more of like a dark and moody. So every shoot, that's actually what's kind of fun about it, because every shoot completely different just because of the theme and stuff. And it kind of gets me, it excites me and keeps me motivated, because not everything is exactly the same then.
Right.
So the Barbie shoot, for instance, I've seen the photos, but did somebody come and commission that, or did you just say, I want to do this idea, I'll find the models, I'll buy the costumes, I'll do the shoot, and then I'll sell the photos afterwards?
Well, Mattel contacted me, I know. No, this was just, this would have been something that had been running in my head for a little while and stuff. I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to make a, like, almost like a living doll, like a Barbie shoot, like where the models like resemble them and kind of like give them that plastic look and everything. And so that it had been kind of like rolling in my head. And actually, it was due to Emily that the shoot finally happened, because I met Emily at a modeling boot camp. And the minute I saw her, I was like, I knew she had, like, you could tell she had a passion, and I loved her look and everything and stuff. And so, and she was super easy and fun to work with.
Thank you.
And let's not call her super easy. I'm going to have to defend my co-host. Okay. You take that back.
But no, she, but there was something about her and stuff, and I'm like, I think she would be perfect for that, because I had been kind of searching for like the model that I wanted and stuff for it. And she was up for it, and she completely hit it out of the park, and she impressed everybody that was on set. So
thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So, and then
she's not paying me to say this.
Sure. No, but I'll give you the $20. Okay. Later. I'm paying him. I got this.
I take check.
Oh, I can write checks all day long then. So those photo, I mean, so I guess what I'm saying is, how do you make money?
I will.
Because if you have all these ideas and you just take pictures, well, you got to make money somehow, because you got to, Emily doesn't work for free. She's not easy, I think you call it. So she's definitely not cheap. How do you make money doing
this? It is a very different, there's certain, like the shoot for the Barbie shoot, that was a concept shoot, because a lot of the times how I feel is when I do these concept shoots, they garner attention or garner like a different audience that might not have seen it. And so like if I do a shoot like that, that gets my name out there and gets people being like, oh, I recognize him. And if I get it published, which the Barbie editorial was published for the anniversary of the creation of Barbie, and it was published on Pattern's website. Cool. And so that way the name got there, it was promoted through Pattern's website and everything for that. So hopefully somebody will see my work there and contact me for commission work. And that's basically what happens and stuff. So there are the shoots that I do, the crazy concept ones and stuff, are basically a really pretty form of advertising.
Through social media?
Through social media and through different publications and stuff, like if it gets published. So
cool. Mm-hmm.
So do you then, if someone's listening to this and they go to your Instagram, like, mm-hmm. oh my God, he's so perfect, which they will, and they're like, oh, you know, I have seen your photos. Mm-hmm. Do you do that too? Or do you...
Like a shoot through that way?
Yeah. So if someone contacts you and it's like, oh my gosh, you're so wonderful. I am getting married. Or like, or do you only do fashion and editorials?
Oh no, both. A photographer is a beggar's can't be choosy and stuff. Like there's not really like a genre of photography that I haven't done. So if somebody does, and that has happened quite a bit and stuff, where somebody will see my work and stuff, because Instagram is like a huge marketing tool and stuff.
Right.
Like you Absolutely. Get the influencers and everything and stuff like that can promote, not that I'm an influencer, but like you see, if somebody sees my work and stuff and they want to book a shoot, they can contact me through there or through William Photography and everything. So
cool. That's cool. Okay. So I want to go back to deciding to do this full time. Mm-hmm. What were the conversations that you had in your head or with other people that, was it just like, fuck it, I'm doing this. Yeah. I can't take it anymore. I think, we've had those conversations
we
before.
Have, yes.
It's just, I'm putting in,
yeah.
Or was it an emotional thing, or was it just like, I'm going to take the next 5 years and put out my plan and all that. I mean, what were the thoughts that went into going pro and the planning that you did?
It wasn't as planned out as thinking of a 5-year plan, which probably would have been smart to do. It was very more emotional and that moment of being like, I'm done.
Right.
Because it was kind of I don't know if I was going through like a thing where I'm like wanting to, like looking at taking a hard look at my life and being like, I moved to Indianapolis to further my career and work more in what I loved. And I found myself at a restaurant that I detested being at. And the fact that I was still working, but it wasn't enough. So that moment of the new year dawning and stuff and wanting to basically just be like, you know what? I moved here for a reason. I'm going to do this and nothing's going to stop me. And so that point, and luckily I have a good support system with my partner and everything, that I was able to do that, to go through the rough times of having, you know, no work or anything and stuff. And so, but now, like, if I look back, I wish I would have done it a lot sooner.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's so important to have that moment of this is it. Like, you know,
yeah.
Because I know so many people that want to do things, but mm-hmm. won't leave their job mm-hmm. or, well, you know, I'm scared. We kind of have had these conversations
Absolutely.
On the podcast before. And so, yeah, it's great to have that defining moment mm-hmm. of, okay, it's now or never.
And that was me. Like for years, like even after I had, cause I graduated from college with my degree in photography in 2008. So if you put the time of how long it took me to finally do it, because there was almost a fear and how in the hell am I going to pay my bills?
Right.
Which came into play and stuff. But and like I said, I wish everything would have come to realization earlier and stuff. But I'm try to be one of those people. Everything happens for a reason. you know, so I in those years, I learned quite a bit and everything about photography, about my style, about shooting and stuff. And I'm continuing to learn everything and stuff. It's a learning process.
We were talking about conversations because... you know, my mom every once in a while will call me up and I'm here with the neighbor girl and she wants to do Facebook for a living or she wants to start a podcast or, you know, she'll want to hook me up with some person that wants to have a conversation, you know, basically, or I'll get emails. Can I take you out to lunch and pick your brain of 15 years of experience? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure Emily gets hit up. I've written a screenplay. It's 3 pages long.
Yeah.
I'd like you to produce it. Mm-hmm. And I'd like you to introduce me to every director you've ever met. And so I think it's really important for people to understand that you have to do what you love for free for a very long mm-hmm. period of time so you can work at it part-time and then do it full-time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what advice would you give to, you know, let's say my mom was on the phone right now. And my mom, the neighbor girl wants to go into photography. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give the neighbor girl who wants to go into photography or the neighbor guy? Let's, you know, be non-binary about it.
And touching on what you said and stuff, you're completely right. You have to like do this for a while and stuff. And so my first initial thing would be to say you kind of have to almost like pay your dues a little bit and stuff, because you know you don't want to work for free forever.
Exactly.
No one does, like, you know, because you know we're not paid. There's unicorns not walking around. Right. We're not paid in gold off trees, but like, but you need to be able to work on your style and work with other end models and just kind of see if this is what you want to do, to see like how you would turn this into a business. Because even before like I had done this as a business, I kind of had like almost like a layout of, okay, like, you know, cause I had never run a shoot basically. Cause I, you know, I'm not only the photographer, but I also art direct my own shoots. And so it's, you know, I wear lots of hats and stuff. And so you're basically have to realize, okay, everything that goes into a photo shoot. Cause sometimes it is just a person with a camera and a model or a subject or whatever and stuff. But you know, if you're working on actually a fashion shoot, you have to think about the model, the clothes, the makeup, the hair, the art direction of the set or wherever you're working at, the lighting.
Define art direction for those who don't know what that means.
Art direction, basically, to me and stuff, is concepting the look of the shoot. So that would be from the everything that kind of goes together, from the background, from any props, the hair and makeup, to make sure everything is cohesive. That's kind of like my big thing. And that's something that like I almost enjoy as much as photography, is the final look. Because I can, you know, be like, if I want to make sure the background, you know, is a blue color and stuff, and I need to have this kind of chair and stuff, it all kind of, it's all pieces of a puzzle that go into it and stuff. And so the art director, like, would be the person that goes out and makes sure that you have every piece, or, you know, that everything is looking the way that you're wanting it to look. So that's a horrible definition. But
No. I understood. I followed. Okay.
Yeah, I did too. And okay. I don't know any of this stuff. Okay. So that's the important test. Okay, good. She should get it, I guess. Yeah. But, what do you do during the week? Cause I like to me, like I would think like a photographer, it's like, well, I'd probably, if I were a photographer, I'd wake up at like noon every day. Mm-hmm. Then I would probably watch some TV, and then around 5 o'clock, do you have a set schedule that you keep to? Do you like, how do you keep yourself disciplined?
Discipline comes in the form of just deadlines a lot of the time. But the life of a photographer, and I think everyone is different, but I've started to find out that all photographers keep strange hours, because it's not unheard of in 1 week for me to be up till like 6 or 7 in the morning editing. Hmm. Because I like to edit at night and everything and stuff, just because there's no distractions. It's just quiet. It's me and my music. But basically, like, you know, there are some days I do not get up till noon, so that is a stereotype. That's true. But that's usually if I've been up till 7 in the morning editing.
Absolutely.
So,
well, you earned it. Yeah. It's okay. I was just saying for me, I would not get up till noon.
Yeah, well, I know. That's the life. But basically, like, on a week where, like, right now, like, this week I have 4 shoots. I'm trying to finish costuming a garment for a shoot that's on Sunday. And I'm trying to nail down some of the props for a shoot that's in 2 weeks. So basically, it's a lot of legwork on my part and stuff, of trying to get all the things to make the set happen, to make the clothes and everything for the certain shoots that I'm doing. And then the other time is spent editing, because editing is a constant thing. I don't think in the past 2 years I've had a time where I'm not editing something.
You said finish a garment. Mm-hmm. Do you make the clothes too?
Sometimes. I am not a designer. I repeat, I'm not a designer. There's just some shoots where I like, it's just another creative outlet for me and stuff, because as much as I love photography and everything, like, I like to kind of try and experience and do other things. So I have in the past made a couple, garments specifically for the shoot. They're just only to be worn in a photo shoot, that you could not wear these out in public. It's held together with tape and string.
Watch me.
So in other words, you're not sleeping this week.
No. Nope.
Yeah, no sleeping until
I'm living off of Diet Mountain Dew right now.
So what can you talk about what you're working on now? Mm-hmm. At all, and kind of your upcoming?
Yes, I can kind of give you a little bit what we're doing right now. I am almost finished, knee deep into a project with makeup artist Daniel French and hairstylist Anthony Perez. We are doing a project that I can tell you is based around music. That's all I can tell you for right now and stuff. It's a project that we've been working on since January, where we have had 6 shoots altogether with about 12 different concepts completely, which Emily was actually in one of them. And
it's cool. So
yes. Yes. Yeah. And the ultimate goal of this project and stuff, we will be having a showcase in August to present the work and everything and stuff. And there'll be more information coming up about that. But that's been a very detailed project that we've been working on all together and stuff. This is not the first time that we've done this and stuff. Last year we had a show that was based on the Zodiac signs where we did avant-garde hair and makeup, beauty shots and stuff. And we actually had a show at the French Pharmacy in Broad Ripple and stuff, which was a super successful show. We had huge prints. It was a great party.
Where can they find that Zodiac shoot?
The Zodiac shoot, you can find some of the images on my Instagram, the @WilliamPhoto, and on Facebook as well. And my website, williamphotography.com.
Y-U-M. William.
William.
Yeah, I think for people listening, you know, for those of us out there who are not, like, I don't know really anything about photography. I've taken photos and, like, lighting seems super complicated, and then you get into all f-stops and things like that, and you're just like, I give up.
And there's so, a lot, like, of numbers.
That's what people think, like, photo shoots are, but then you don't realize the amount of thought. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just sitting here thinking about the amount of thought that goes into the photos that we see in magazines.
Yes.
And on TV and on websites. Like, just the amount of preparation that takes. That's amazing.
And that's something I'm passionate about, because recently, like, I was told that, like, that fashion photography is not art. And
it's not art?
Yes, that's what I was told by someone. Yeah.
Okay. Oh boy, we got Emily's finger is swinging violently.
Yes, it is wagging in my face right now. No, and it's actually not the first time I've been told that, which it is kind of a shock to me because what you just said, because, like, of how much work goes into it and thought, and not just because it was work, but if you look at one fashion picture in, not necessarily even mine or anything, like if you look in W Magazine or Vogue, the amount of thought from all of the creative people that went into this, whether it was the vision of the photographer or the editor or whatever, those are pieces of art. And, like, those are something that you would, that I personally, and I think other people, would hang on their wall.
Sure.
Like, that I, you know, just because photography, like, since its conception and stuff.
I'll take 3 copies of her in the Barbie outfit right now.
Oh, my God.
Sold.
Right.
No, but, like, you know, fashion photography, since its, like, inception and stuff, like, had a hard time in the art world. People didn't respect it as an art form. And it's funny that still holds true a little bit, because photographers don't get, I think, the kind of credit, like, that they deserve on parts where, you know, it is. I mean, the amount of work and the amount of people that have been involved in and stuff.
The things that can go wrong. There's always open to interpretation. It's what separates what you do versus what I could do makes it art.
Mm-hmm.
And because if I tried to set up a Barbie shoot, it'd be me with my iPhone and be like, do you have, like, a pink bathing suit, Emily? I don't know. You know, you look blonde. Let's do it. You know, but I wouldn't know what to do with her makeup or hair. It'd be like, I've got some Aquanet. I mean, that's the difference between what you and I do. And let's face it, you two are exposed to far more douchebags than I am. There are a lot of people who want to make themselves, and sometimes their lack of skill, they want to project that by putting others down who do create, by saying, oh, this isn't up to this standard or that standard. When in reality, I wouldn't say this is art necessarily. Like, a podcast is not art, but it's certainly creative. It certainly takes talent. It certainly takes a lot of effort on our ability to, like, carry a conversation, talk to people, you know. But visually, what you do is very striking and engaging and evokes a reaction.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Even, like, that just blows my mind that fashion isn't quote unquote art. Even looking at people's makeup, how they do the makeup, the hair, crazy sometimes hair, beautiful flowing dresses in a crazy background or not a crazy background. It's fascinating to look at. Oh my gosh.
I think maybe we're in a different mindset sometimes, or, like, I just, the fact that it was I was told that. So I mean, it just, it
what
is
was
nuts.
Their name? No. Give me their phone number right now, William.
No.
And Emily and I are going to get our fingers out and we are going to wag it at some people.
We sure are.
And not that I'm saying, like, not every shoot that I do, like, do I, I'm like, I'm an artist, you know, like,
right.
I don't consider like everything. Like some shoots is just a man with a camera and a model.
Right. Dave's high
stuff.
School photo, you know, like that sort of
I
thing.
I mean, but there are ones that I, you know, that I do feel proud of that, you know, the amount of work and stuff that I just, people, when they see an image, I don't think they always think of everything that like went into it.
Absolutely.
So like,
well, that Zodiac shoot, people, look that up. And if you don't think that is art, then.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, can you talk about it from the model's perspective, Emily? I mean, can you talk about,
yes, like, I'd love to hear this.
Like the difference. So you said earlier, he's easy to work with.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
great to work with. Like what, from your experience, what makes him easy to work with? What are some other, you don't have to call out names, but like, what are the differences between a bad shoot and a good shoot?
Well, especially working with William, number one, he's just easy to work with. The second you walk into his studio, it's, can I get you something to drink? You know, just very relaxed, which is very nice. It's not like there's obviously always pressure to do well, but there's no, I've never felt like any pressure from him, you know, like this has to be perfect or anything. And if I kind of go stale, like, oh my gosh, even the last shoot I did, I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know
what to do with my hands.
what
do you mean go stale? Because like from the other side, for most of our listeners who are not, have never been on a photo shoot, never will be, and have no idea what it takes to be a model in a photo shoot, What does it mean to go stale? And
so William always has really great backgrounds, right? So you kind of work with the background, the props that you have. But there's only so much I did before I was like, what? I'm just repeating myself now. Like I haven't
like different
done
poses?
Different poses. Yeah. Right. You know, working with the background or working with the props that you have. And so William, again, he's just so easy. Well, hey, you know what? Hey, try this. Mm-hmm. And oh yeah. Okay. And then you can kind of get back into the groove again.
Right.
And even when we do like bigger shoots, like say for the Barbie, like the people that he works with are so talented. And I remember every time I go to change after my hair and makeup is done, I'm like, oh, I love it. It looks so good. Like,
right.
You know, and that is, I don't know. It's nice to have someone who is prepared and who knows what they do. And then when you see the photos, you're like blown away. Like not
right.
even me, like not just other pictures that William has done. It's just
right.
like, those are so gorgeous. Like they're stunning. So I don't know.
I'm just curious, like that day of the shoot and stuff, when you came in, like, and I'm like, hey, you're going to be Barbie. What went through your head? Were you like,
did you not know that beforehand?
No, I did. But, yeah, I didn't know if it was a like fashion Barbie or like I'm plastic and I'm not moving my hands,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Or if it was, I'm just pretending to be Barbie, but still, but I'm going to model.
Right.
Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe I'm not making
mm-hmm.
that clear, but yeah.
yeah.
So yeah, I didn't
yeah.
know.
Like you're in a Barbie outfit with the duck face and the, you know, the sideways peace sign,
no,
that kind
that.
Of modeling or like.
No, just because, you know, when you have on different outfits or, you know, fashion clothes.
That really gets you into character, like once you get.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I didn't know if I was playing a plastic Barbie or if I was still trying to do a fashion shoot. And you mm-hmm. can do both.
And
you know what I mean? You can do both.
And I think,
but
yeah.
Yeah, it just, I didn't know.
So you, in one, your face would be expressionless versus the other, you'd have, you'd evoke,
right.
yes.
you would evoke some emotion
yes.
in your expression.
And she did great at mixing, because we went
Thank
back
you.
And forth from being like the traditional plastic Barbie to being like more fashion related. It was kind of a mix between the two.
Yeah.
How
so.
Emily, how do you know what, how do you get your face to do what your brain is saying? Like how, like, and maybe it's just, you've seen so many photos of yourself and you've practiced. I don't know how, like if you told me to look sassy right now, I couldn't do sassy.
You're looking really sassy right now.
I'm sassy.
A lot of it is practicing in the mirror. And I know that sounds very vain, but you have to,
right.
you know what I mean? And then also, like, thank God, in my head, sometimes I think that it's a good look, but William would be like, chin down, your chin's a little too high. You're like, chin down. And then I'm like, oh yeah, okay, thanks. So it's working. And that also is what makes him a great photographer. He can say something. I don't feel like, oh no. It's like, oh yeah,
yeah.
thanks. Oh my gosh. Phew,
so a lot
thank
of times
you.
You'll get directions, say, you know, have the crook of your left mouth go up a little bit, the right eye.
A 45-degree angle.
Yeah, private. Like that sort of direction where it's a little more technical about the actual look
sometimes.
And position and pose and all that.
Sometimes, but after just doing it for so long, you kind of just know poses and, you know, looking at magazines and studying magazines and how models pose and their facial expressions and stuff like that. There's just a good, you know, it helps to work with photographers repeatedly because you kind of know what they're after too.
And that's what I was going to just add on to what she said, that the photographer model relationship is like a really strong one, and especially it builds every time you work with a person, because it's almost like a dance, because the photographer can't do their job if the model's not, and vice versa and stuff. And so it's a really good communication and stuff. And that's why I feel like from the get-go with Emily and stuff that we've had a good communication and stuff. And I think we've got great images and more to come.
Yay.
Too, so.
What happens if you've hired a turd model? What do you do?
Well, that has happened in the past. There's been models that just weren't happy to be there, which is strange because we had the creative team had met them before and stuff. And so, like, you know, it was all like, oh, we're all excited to do the shoot. But then the day of it and stuff, they just have a sour look on their face and they're just not into it and stuff, which is a little bit disappointing when you get on set and you have put,
especially now knowing how much thought and effort goes into a shoot.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That is disappointing.
And that is one question that I was thinking about earlier. I mean, how do you, it's probably less for William and more for Emily. Like, there are days where I go into work and I'm going through some personal stuff and like, I'm just dragging and I don't want to talk to anybody. And I'm in like 2 days ago, I was a bitch. Like, I was just grumpy and I didn't want to talk to anybody. But I still went in, I did my job, but I can sit in a computer and not talk to anybody. Like, when you have to go in and be happy or force yourself into emotional boxes.
One word, it's called being professional.
Thanks.
No, because I'll add on that too. There are some days where I am in a horrible mood or having personal stuff or whatever and stuff.
Right.
And I'm just like, I don't want to be a photographer today. I just want to go and, you know, watch Netflix and eat pizza.
Right.
But if I don't have the mood, if I don't, like, you know, because they're going to feed off of whatever energy I have and vice versa. So if I'm a crappy, mean photographer that doesn't act like they want to be there, the model's not going to perform and then the pictures are not going to be worth it. And the whole shoot's basically wasted. So it's like, I have to, you know, it's putting on that professional face.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a lot of that relationship and what you get out of your photographs is energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just creating energy
completely.
And manage. I don't know if that's too esoteric for people to understand, but I guess the way to put it is think of the energy that you have when you're on a first date. You know, you go out on a first date and you're vibing with someone versus another first date where it's just like, I have to get out of here, you know? And so, you know, and so that's the definition of chemistry in, you know, between two people.
And that's a good thing. Like, because there's lots of times like, where I've worked with a model for the first time, like, you know, they come to the studio, it's the first time we're meeting, first time working and stuff. And so like, you know, and I'm nervous sometimes, like it's, you know, it happens, but like, I can't usually show that stuff because I have to be like, you know, make sure that I'm on and, you know, everything and stuff, just so that there's a smooth continuation with the shoot and everything and stuff. So
What is your favorite shoot that you've ever done?
Oh god,
what is the piece of work that you're most proud of?
That's like trying to pick a favorite child,
right?
There's been ones, I think I know we talked about already and stuff, but I think that the Zodiac shoot was a huge shoot that I kind of had been thinking about for a while and stuff, and seeing that from the point of just the concept when the creative team and I were talking about the looks, from the first initial point of talking about that to seeing these pictures blown up, you know, three times, four times their size in an actual, like, you know, gallery and stuff, was an amazing moment. And that's a project that I still look at and I continue to look at and I think I'll be proud of. And there's been other ones along the way and stuff. I did a music shoot for Pattern Magazine for an issue a few years back and stuff that was based on Madonna. I've done this past October for Halloween and stuff, the creative team and I did a recreation of the Batman villains, where we took five or six different Batman villains and we made them kind of fashion updated them and everything and stuff. And it was for a themed.
Where can people, Halloween can trip. People see that on your social media?
People can see that on the Instagram, William Photo and William Photography.
Yeah. Just a couple more questions okay. because we got to go soon. I forgot what my other couple questions were.
My favorite color is red.
You don't like cilantro.
Yeah. Hate it.
I don't think that I'm the only one that gets this because there's a whole term for it now called imposter syndrome. But there are a lot of days where I have self-doubt and I just think, like, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to have the success that I have. I'm not good at my job. Or, yeah, I mean, how do you deal with self-doubt and, you know, especially when you make that leap and you're doing this full time and you're just like, I'll listen to other podcasts. There's a podcast called The Johnny Rocket Launchpad that is a libertarian podcast. First time I listened to it, it was a kick in the balls because it was so much better than mine. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I'm giving up. I'm not the best. So how do you deal with looking at other, does it inspire you or are you just like, ugh?
Self-doubt does play a part in myself and my work and everything and stuff. When I see other, it's both actually. When I see other photographers' work, there's photographers that I admire greatly, and it can go one of two ways depending on the day and stuff. And be like, you know, like, oh wow, you know, I strive to be like them, or like, you know, they're at this level that I want to be at, or it can go the other way with a bottle of wine, being like, I will never be at that level. You know why?
You son of a bitch, God.
You know, so I mean, and you know, joking aside, you know, without the bottle of wine, that does happen and stuff. Where I, you know, question myself, like, you know, or I'll look at, you know, some of my images one day, and I can be like, oh, you know, this is the best thing I've ever done. I love it. It's great. Give me like a month and I'll be like, I hate that. I'm like, why? Why did I do that? Like, you know, this is sucks. You know, this is just not good work. And that's it's a battle like within, I think, every artist. I don't think it's just photography it is a good thing in a way, because if I can look back at stuff and be like, okay, I don't necessarily hate it, but I can see what I would have done better. And stuff. It's almost like a learning process. And that's the thing, like, from looking at other photographers too. Like, you know, I may look at an image from another photographer and being jealous that I like didn't take it, or be like, oh, that's so much better. But that also can give me the drive to do it, because one of the biggest things that drives me, I think, is competition.
Yeah.
And stuff. When I was in college and stuff, my best friend was going for graphic design. Not even the same major and stuff, but we were in a lot of the same classes. And the competition built from him and stuff, like, really, like, you know, changed me and stuff. It put me on this whole, like, okay, not necessarily a mean competition, but like, he made me want to be better.
Yeah,
what is that movie? Great. What is that movie? You Make Me Want to Be a Better Man or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
All of them.
But it's kind of like that, like, competition can make everybody better.
Absolutely.
It shows you your flaws. It shows you your highlights, because the things that other photographers do, like, no one is the same. Like you mentioned on earlier and stuff, everybody does something a little bit different and stuff. So I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. So,
yeah. Have I missed anything? Have we missed anything?
I don't think so. Just one last time, tell people how they can find you.
Of the many different ways in social media land, there's at William Photo, WILLYUM Photo on Instagram, William Photography on Facebook, and then you can go to www.williamphotography.com.
Cool. Great. And anything that we missed, let's ask William.
I don't know.
Anything that you'd like to say to the dozens and dozens of hundreds of people listening?
I would just be happy if you all would check out my work on my Instagram or anything and stuff. I love likes. I know that they, likes don't matter, but they really do. You know, we are in a world of Kim Kardashian. So, yes. So feel free to check out my work and thank you.
Thank you so much for coming here also. I really appreciate it.
This is very relaxing. I'm laying on like a therapist couch.
Right. Yeah. We're going to get into traumas next week. So yes. Be prepared. Take a nap.
I blame my mother.
Yeah. Don't we all? All right. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Chris Spangle Show. Thank you to William for being our guest today. Thank you for Emily for co-hosting and setting this up and hosting us at her beautiful home. And thank you to Bandito for not barking. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share, go rate, and review us on iTunes. And please, we'll see you next time we're here, which will hopefully be soon. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.